Welcome to our deep dive into the Volkswagen Beetle.
The Beetle.
You know, it's clear from the stuff that you sent us that you've got like a real fascination with this car.
Yeah.
From its design to its global reach to those quirky fun facts, you know? We've got a stack of sources here from Wikipedia to articles to even your own notes.
Wow.
But we're going beyond just the surface level facts.
Okay.
You know, we're going to try to uncover the surprising stories behind the Beatles' success
Cool.
and maybe even unearth a controversy or two along the way.
Sounds fascinating.
You might be surprised to know that
Yeah.
the name Beetle wasn't the original plan
Really?
at all
Huh?
to understand this car.
Oh,
We
good.
have to take a trip back to pre-war Germany.
Okay.
We're talking about Hitler's vision for a people's car.
Right, the KDF wagon.
KDF stood for Kraft durch Freude, meaning strength through joy.
Yeah, it's a little ironic considering what was about to unfold in the world.
Yeah, definitely a loaded phrase in hindsight. And the man tasked with designing this people's car
Yeah.
was none other than Ferdinand Porsche.
Right.
So is the Beetle's iconic design all thanks to him?
Well, not quite. The story is a little bit more tangled than that.
Okay.
You see, Porsche is credited with the design,
Yeah.
but the Beatles' origins are a bit more complicated than that.
Okay.
Before Volkswagen even existed, Porsche was working with companies like Zündapp and NSU, experimenting with rear-engine air-cooled prototypes.
Interesting.
There's this fascinating prototype from that era called the Zündapp Type 12,
Right.
which even had a five-cylinder radial engine.
A radial engine.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not something you hear every day, especially in a car.
No, especially not in the context of a car like the Beetle.
Right. So what happened to that design?
Well, it seems there were some technical hurdles with cooling and the gearbox,
Right.
not to mention the cost of producing such an engine on a large scale.
Makes sense.
But, you know, it does show that Porsche was already exploring concepts that would eventually lead to the Beetle. And this was a time of intense innovation in the automotive world anyway.
Right, so Porsche wasn't working in isolation.
Exactly.
And speaking of other designers,
Yeah.
this is where we bump into that Tatra controversy that you
Ah,
mentioned.
yes, the Tatra controversy. This is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
We have Hans Ledwinka, an Austrian engineer working for the Czech car manufacturer Tatra. And he was developing his own innovative cars, most notably the Tatra 97.
And from the pictures that I've seen, the resemblance to the Beetle is
Oh, yeah.
pretty striking, to say the least,
It is.
both with that rear engine layout and that rounded shape.
Yeah.
It's like looking at a family portrait almost.
Exactly. Even details like the central tunnel running through the car are remarkably similar. Tatra certainly thought so too.
Okay.
They filed a lawsuit against Volkswagen for patent infringement.
Oh, wow.
And there are even accounts of Hitler himself stepping in to try and quash the lawsuit.
Wow. If Hitler's getting involved, things must have been pretty serious.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a lot to unpack here.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
This story is full of fascinating twists and turns.
So on one hand, we have Porsche's background experimenting with similar designs.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, we have this incredibly similar-looking car from Tatra
Right.
and a lawsuit that was seemingly squashed due to political pressure. Where do we even begin to unravel this?
Well, even with all the political drama surrounding this car, history took an unexpected turn.
Yeah.
World War II put everything on hold, and the factory in Wolfsburg, originally intended for the people's car, was repurposed for military production.
So the people's car gets put on ice, so to speak.
Right.
What happened after the war ended?
Well,
Did the project just disappear?
not at all. The car eventually got a second chance, but with a significant rebranding.
Okay.
You see, the name KDF wagon was obviously problematic,
Yeah.
carrying the weight of the Nazi regime.
Right.
So it was simply called Volkswagen. It was a clean break from the past.
Right. A fresh start for a new era. It makes you wonder, though, how a car born from such a controversial period could eventually become the global icon we know today.
That's a great question, and one we'll delve into further.
Yeah.
But it speaks to the car's ability to transcend its origins and appeal to something much deeper in people around the world. You know, it's fascinating how certain objects can take on a life of their own, becoming symbols that resonate far beyond their original purpose. And the Beetle is a prime example of that.
Absolutely. And even though it started with that simple name, Volkswagen, meaning people's car, it didn't take long for a new, more affectionate name to catch on,
Right.
the Beetle.
You got it. That nickname first popped up in a 1938 New York Times article, believe it or not.
Wow.
The journalist saw those distinct rounded curves, and, well, the comparison to a beetle was pretty irresistible.
It is a very fitting name, and it seems like it resonated globally.
It did.
Didn't the beetle earn a whole collection of these charming nicknames in different languages?
Oh, it did. Coccinelle in France, which means ladybug. Magilino in Italy for Maybug, and even Fusca in Brazil.
Wow.
These endearing names speak to how the car transcended borders and languages, becoming a beloved symbol in so many cultures.
That's amazing how a simple car could evoke such warmth and personality. But beyond the charming nicknames, the Beetle was also a remarkably robust machine.
Oh, absolutely.
Wasn't it?
While that iconic design remained largely unchanged, Volkswagen continually refined the mechanics over the years.
So they were always working on it?
Oh, yeah. The engines, the brakes, the suspension, all those essential components were improved.
Okay.
Making the Beetle a reliable and safe car.
So it was more than just a cute face. It had the engineering to back it up.
Exactly.
And I imagine that probably contributed to its incredible longevity as well.
You're thinking along the right lines. The Beetle was in production for decades, eventually hitting a major milestone in 1972.
Wow.
Surpassing Ford's Model T.
What?
To become the most produced car in history at that point.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But even with those constant refinements, the automotive landscape was changing. What factors led to the Beetle's eventual decline?
Well, just like any product, it eventually faced the realities of a shifting market. By the 1970s, newer, more modern, compact cars were emerging.
Yeah.
Offering features and fuel efficiency that even with updates, the Beetle just couldn't match.
Makes sense. Competition can be fierce, especially in the automotive world.
For sure.
Were there other factors at play as well?
Consumer preferences were evolving, too. People were looking for more space, more comfort, and more modern styling. The Beetle, with its classic design, started to feel a bit dated in comparison.
Yeah, I can see that. So did they just stop production altogether when sales started to decline?
Production in Wolfsburg, the Beetle's birthplace, did end in 1974.
Okay.
But the story doesn't end there. Production continued in other parts of the world, like Mexico and Brazil.
Really?
Keeping the Beetle alive and on the road for several more decades.
That's interesting. Different parts of the world had their own Beetle eras, so to speak.
Exactly. And it really highlights the car's adaptability. It can be produced in different environments and tailored to different markets while still retaining that essential Beetle charm.
Okay, so we know the Beetle had a long run, but when did that final curtain fall?
The very last Beetle rolled off the assembly line in Mexico in 2003. It was a special edition model called the Ultima Edition, a fitting tribute to a car that had captured the hearts of so many for so long.
The end of an era. But before we get too sentimental, let's shift gears and talk about some of those more unusual Beetles out there. I'm talking about convertibles, police cars, and even, wait for it, a stretch limo.
Ah, yes, the Beetle limo.
Yeah.
A real sight to behold.
Yeah.
It shows how this car became more than just transportation. It was a platform for creativity, a canvas for personal expression.
And let's not forget all the engine swaps and modifications. People really took the Beetle and made it their own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
From souped-up engines to electric conversions, the Beetle became a favorite for tinkerers and car enthusiasts. It's a testament to the car's simple and adaptable design.
Yeah. It even made its mark in motorsports, too. Not bad for a people's car.
Indeed. That lightweight and rear engine layout made it surprisingly competitive in various disciplines, from drag racing to rallycross.
So the Beetle was a car of many talents. From humble beginnings to global stardom, it's a story that's full of surprises. But speaking of surprises, I keep coming back to that Tatra controversy.
Yeah.
It makes you think about the ethical boundaries of inspiration versus imitation in design.
It's a complex issue, for sure. And in this case, it's interwoven with the political climate of the time, which adds another layer of complexity.
It does. And it makes you wonder, did that controversy ultimately help or hinder the Beetle's success? Would it have achieved the same level of global recognition without that element of its history?
That's a fascinating question. It's hard to say for certain, but perhaps that blend of innovation, controversy, and cultural impact is part of what makes the Beetle such an enduring legend.
Perhaps. There are so many factors at play, and it's clear that the Beetle story continues to spark debate and discussion. But I think there's one thing we can all agree on: the Beetle's impact on automotive history and design is undeniable. It was more than just a car, it was a cultural phenomenon.
I wholeheartedly agree. And for you, our listener, this deep dive is just the beginning. There are so many rabbit holes to explore and fascinating stories to uncover. We encourage you to dive into those sources you provided, look at those photos, and really soak in all the details of this incredible car's journey.
As we're wrapping up this deep dive, you know what really strikes me is how the Beetle story goes beyond just nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the people who designed it, the people who drove it, and how this car became a reflection of different cultures and eras.
I think you hit on something really important there, the human element. The Beetle wasn't just a machine, it was an object that people formed connections with, imbued with their own stories and experiences.
Yeah, and thinking back to all those nicknames, you know, Cochinelle, Maggiolino, Fusca, it's clear that different cultures really embrace the Beetle in their own unique way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this car so fascinating to study. You know, it wasn't just a product, it was a cultural touchstone, a symbol that evolved with the times. From its controversial origins in pre-war Germany to its embrace by the counterculture movement in the U.S., the Beetle story is a reflection of the 20th century itself.
It really is. And for you, our listener, I think the Beetle story offers a few key takeaways. First, it reminds us that innovation often happens in fits and starts with designers building upon each other's ideas.
Right.
You know, the Beetle's design didn't just appear out of nowhere. It evolved from earlier prototypes and the work of other automotive pioneers.
That's a great point. It's important to remember that creativity often builds on what came before. And sometimes those connections can be complex and even controversial, as we saw with the Tatra connection.
Exactly. Which brings us to another takeaway. Objects can take on lives of their own, far exceeding their original purpose. You know, a car designed as a symbol of political ideology became an icon of economic recovery, personal expression, and even racing prowess.
You've summed it up perfectly. The Beetle story encourages us to look beyond the surface and consider the deeper cultural and historical forces that shape our world, even in seemingly simple objects like cars.
Yeah, it's a reminder that there's always more to the story than meets the eye. And for our listener, we encourage you to keep exploring.
Yes.
Delve into those sources you shared. Check out the photos and videos, and maybe even take a spin in a vintage Beetle if you get the chance.
What a great way to connect with this fascinating piece of history.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of the Volkswagen Beetle. We hope you enjoyed the ride.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.